Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Agnostic Salvation Hour. My name is Marshall.
I'm Cole.
I'm Jennifer.
And this is Howard.
And Lloyd couldn't be with us today. I believe she had something else on her schedule.
Swine flu.
She had scheduled to have the swine flu.
Yes.
Today.
So I think she found Jesus.
I have to say my favorite name for it is the snout break.
The snout break.
That is going to happen.
You did smell sort of like bacon when I came in.
I always smell like bacon.
So Jennifer is the token female replacement this weekend.
Yay!
Dear listener, we try as hard as we can not to make this a complete sausage fest.
That is true. I there are too many shows where just everybody's a guy on it. Not that they're bad shows, but I think it's always interesting when there's a female on the show to kind of give a different perspective. And that's your role today, Jennifer.
All right, I'll do my best.
All right, I just want to remind everybody that we are available on podomatic.com for download. And you can also download us on Podcast Alley and iTunes if you have what I like to call a iPod. And we're somewhere else. I can't remember. Oh, we're on xchristians.com on their forum. There's a link to us that they were kind enough to put us on there.
Did you say iTunes? We're on iTunes, right?
We are on iTunes. Okay. For those of you who have what I like to call
What is the farthest, most flung corner of the earth that somebody has downloaded us on?
Ooh, that's right. We even lost
Zealand. New Zealand. I think we had someone from Indonesia.
Ooh.
Which kind of worries me. Because I was expecting a Fatwa.
I didn't think they spoke the King's English over there. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sure some of them do.
Not that we do either.
A lot of Netherlands, Great Britain. I mean, the majority of our audience is American. But, I mean, we've had a lot of people from coast to coast listen to us. But we also get a lot of European listeners. They're about less than 10%, but they... We do get a lot of downloads from them, so it's fun. For all of those of you in Europe, I'd like to say welcome. And feel free to, anyone, I don't care where you live, feel free to leave a comment, either good or positive, about the show so far.
Either good or positive?
or good or negative.
Oh, okay. Put that joint out.
You have three. You have three choices, and the first two don't count.
So, just something, because I know you're listening out there.
How do you know?
Somebody's downloading us. I get the information for the last month of traffic.
Howard, the lights are dimming. .com.
Are they?
Yes. Is that God?
Jesus. I don't know. I think I need to communicate with that Jesus-shaped hole in my life.
Ah, yes.
We're going to discuss some of the recent events here in the Kansas City area. Cole, I was going to hand the baton to you for that.
There's been things happening here?
You've been at all of them.
Oh, okay.
I know there was alcohol present.
at the end of every night. I'm operating off about 8 hours sleep since Friday. We started at 3:30, or I did, started at 3:30. Noel, Dildine from... American Atheist International. Mm-hmm. She's ambassador for that group. Mm-hmm. She came in to talk to us, and about 20 of us showed up at Minsky's, had pizza and a few beers, and she gave a little talk. Unfortunately, meetup groups can't join AAI, but she was encouraging individuals to join, and she was a lot of fun.
Well, how do we form a organization that would qualify?
I'm not sure. I'll have to ask her. I'm too tired to think about it.
Okay.
It's got to be something like COR or Heartland Humanist, and so we would have to be someone like that. And I don't know if that's even possible with meetup groups, but anyway,
are we not organized enough?
Probably not.
Okay. I think we could get that way. It's just it's a process. I think. Yeah, I think the meetup groups is a good start.
Yes, and that's what she thought.
Well,
too.
I mean,
yeah. What was your? I mean, basically, we just had some fun at Minsky's, and she did a little talk. She just handed out some flyers, brochures, cards, and encouraged us. But she had a little group. Did she talk to you about that group, Jennifer?
About the
for the Goodwill.
Yes, yeah. Right. She talked to me about that. I thought that was an interesting idea. The doing the charity work and showing that atheists and agnostics and non-religious people can actually, you know, contribute good things to society, and that we're not just all heathens running around not caring about anybody else. So
she's wanting to do that this coming Darwin's Day in May, and just want to get everybody to give something to the homeless, a blanket, something. So I think it's really a good – this is something she's doing outside of AAI. This is her own group.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I'll post more about it when I get more information from her. She was in town mainly because she's getting married, and her grandfather and grandmother were putting on her bridal shower. And her mom came in from Seattle. She lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so she was here for that, and she just happened to email COR, and Doug Greer got a hold of it and then emailed us and CC'd us. And so then I called her, and she was really excited about meeting them. She was really excited about how much was going on here with our meetup groups. Yeah, and she was really impressed.
In the Kansas City area, you might not realize this, but we atheists and agnostics are everywhere.
Yes. We had.
You can't get away from us.
I know. Right. And you never know who you're standing by in at McDonald's. You know, it could be an atheist.
It could be. Yeah. In your closet, under a rock.
Yes, you never know. Mowing your grass. Right. You know, I mean.
It's terrifying when you think of it. But anyway, yeah, that was I was there for that. That was fun.
Yeah.
It didn't really. She gave us a little speech, and the rest of us drinking. And
yeah, it was mostly just fun, and you know. And then the Darwin event. You can probably talk about that, Marshall.
Yeah, then we all picked up and moved to the Johnson County Community College to listen to three speakers give discussions about Darwinism and creationism, which I thought all speakers did it. I don't remember their names.
I particularly remember Josh because I talked to him about Eugenie Scott as his boss. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to him at the end of it asking, is it possible that we could get Skype with her? And would it be possible we could interview her on the show? And he said, well, possible. She's very, very busy. Mm-hmm. But if not, then she said there's two other people that work, I guess, are maybe higher than he is. I don't know what he meant by that, but that works with her very closely. He said are very fun guys. And so maybe we could do that for this show and maybe for one of the groups to have. So anyway, he gave me his card, and I'll email him here in a couple of days and see what's possible. I'd love Eugenie Scott's like my hero. I love listening. She's just so much fun. She's so fun at what
great.
She does.
She is.
You know?
The speeches they gave were all very good, but things kind of fell apart during the question and answer period.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
There was clearly some creationist present who has some of those.
Who was the guy that was reading that? What's his name?
He was
very good. I mean, I enjoyed him.
Yeah. What was the best question?
If evolution is true, then why is there death, disease, and murder? It was just so dumb. Like, that had to be a creationist.
What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, if evolution were true, we would just live infinitely.
Yeah, and what would that mean?
Man, does that person think that it gives you some sort of like supernatural power? Like we're gonna.
Well, to me, that explains Jesus theory.
I'm gonna transform into like a leathery winged creature and fly off into the sky.
I know. Well, we still are subject to the laws of physics.
Yeah.
And disease. I mean. Why is the existence of disease contrary to evolution?
I was going to say, does that mean that, you know, if evolution is true, what are they trying to say? That only humans evolve and nothing else
does?
Yeah,
I mean, right. for those microorganisms that are evolving, we are a resource.
Yeah, well, right. That's what I love.
Our body's a host for it.
They say that, you know, that the world was created by God for us, you know, as our domain, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if you look at a... you know, what microbiology has told us in the last century, God created the earth for bacteria.
Yes.
They're the ones in charge.
They still are the dominant force on this planet.
Well, exactly.
They are, yes.
We're just struggling to stay one step ahead of them.
Exactly.
You know?
And there's a lot more of them than there are us.
They'll win eventually. Because they are the children of God.
Oh, yes. This is true.
If we only knew the secret.
It's a bacteria-shaped hole in my heart.
Yeah. It's that hole in the heart.
I wonder if they have scriptures regarding us.
I bet they do.
They probably do.
Yeah. I mean, this is all a... I don't think we even matter. I mean...
I have this image of this single-cell Jesus being... nailed to a,
to a toothpick or to a branch.
At least their communion makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Or would it be like that episode of Futurama? I don't know if you've ever seen that, where the worms take over Fry's body.
Oh, yeah.
And they make it better.
Oh, yes. I remember. I do remember. But, you know, the good thing about, I mean, about this scenario that we've just presented, and I think it's a serious scenario about bacteria being the children of God, is they wouldn't have to deal with the majority of sins that we have to do, given the fact that they reproduce asexually. You know? Just kind of.
Anyway. That's true. It cuts down on lots of the sins that you could commit.
But sinning's so fun.
I know.
I sinned a lot this weekend.
Oh.
Maybe we shouldn't ask.
Not at the group. It was at home.
So.
So, alrighty.
It's better than your whole joke.
Yes. Now, my whole joke was funny. Yeah. Come on now.
Kind of smelly.
Whole joke went over really well before we started.
Yeah, but then Cole was like, crickets.
So, all right. Well, then last night, we had more evolution.
Oh, yeah. We had Fred Day. That's who he goes by. He's a science journalist. And he got a hold of me. He got a hold of me after the article I wrote for the Kansas City Star, and he was interested in just meeting with some atheists, and he had a group of provocateurs that are kind of crossing over. They've been expelled from churches. They've left churches. Some claim to be atheists, some not. He just doesn't know what to do with these people, and when he read my article, he contacted me, wanted to get to know more about what he should do, maybe pass these off to groups, and we have these groups. So now he joined our groups, and he's a Christian. He believes in Jesus. He was expelled from a board on a church.
For believing in evolution.
Yes, yes. That's and amazing. So he's searching. He found a non-denominational church here lately that I'm going to go to a Bible study with him here fairly soon. And so anyway, he agreed to talk about this and about science. He's a science journalist and just his viewpoint of ID and creationism and this and that. So.
What was the, since I wasn't there, what was the focus of that discussion?
Four topics. I mean, it was he just kind of skirted from how, as a child, he was involved in religion and how he moved from there to being very religious and then questioning and then thinking about evolution and his evolution. Of still believing in Jesus, yet being, I mean, he brought up so many interesting points about evolution, and this guy is so close to being at least an agnostic, it's unbelievable. You're just waiting to say something, Jennifer.
Oh, I just thought that his story of becoming, because you forgot to mention that he was also a young earth creationist
at the
beginning.
Right.
He wasn't just somebody questioning. He actually thought that the earth was 6,000 years old at one point and went on to question things. I thought his story was fascinating. I really liked what he had to say.
Yeah, and we've a year ago, the same group, skeptics group, we were averaging 7, 8, 9, 10 people, and we've been averaging between 15 and 20 people lately in the last 6-7 months. My count, some people have disagreed with this, but my count total for the night was about 33, but that was people coming in, staying for an hour, for whatever reason.
And this was just a meetup group.
Right, yeah, right. And so I think we averaged for the night about 29, 30 people. That's a lot.
That's great.
For this type of meetup group.
Yeah, was there and room for everybody?
Well, we made room.
Almost,
and
yeah.
So, you know, a few of us just kind of leaned up against things, and I had a tall chair. But it was
fine.
I think we need to
start going someplace else.
Nope, I don't think so.
Really?
We'll keep it there. This is very unusual. 20 people accommodates just fine, even 25.
Well, that's true.
It's just such a nice location. The people are good. It's just so convenient. And we've got this.
And it's free.
We got this. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we got this. I don't know, this is a group of people that live in that area that just really patronize this. This is every Saturday night something's going on there. So anyway, back to Fred. We talked for until about 9:30. Then we ended up going to Old Chicago and having some food and a few beers. He loves to drink beer. And we talked. And so there's about 15, 16 of us there.
Yeah,
is that
what
you guessed?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's about right. And so this is what we're getting. Even Friday night after the Darwin event, we went back to Danny's. There was 15, 16, 17 people there. Mm-hmm. Once again, talking and having
fun. We kept having to move to bigger tables.
Yeah. We were playing musical tables about three times. We're like, hey, let's move over there.
Grabbing tables and pulling them in. So the community in the Kansas City area, especially in the Johnson County area, is just growing like crazy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think Fred, to be quite honest, I'm going to try to get Fred to talk to the North group and maybe to the Wyandotte group. And I don't want to I want him to I want to allow him to be a member too and not have to talk very much. The next couple of times we have meetup groups and stuff, I don't want to ask him to do anything at all, and just let him, because he seems to be really enjoying this. And,
oh yeah, he seemed like he was real happy and excited to be there and thought everybody was lots of fun. And
he didn't have to worry about admitting the fact that he believed in evolution.
For
that.
Well, and like, we're sitting at the table.
I don't understand why anybody judges about that. It's such
a church.
That's true.
I mean, he's apparently dealt his whole life with people who would judge you on that.
Oh yeah, yeah. If I had to have a discussion about that with my father, it would be knock down, drag out.
Oh yeah.
He's a young Earth.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And I don't even go anywhere near it. There's just no reason.
Nope.
No,
but unfortunately, I didn't get to join you all for this fantastic speech.
Well, Fred, at last, because I want to ask you a question.
Oh, me? Howard.
Yeah. But anyway, I just want to throw this in while we're at the table at Old Chicago. Fred, like two times said, you guys are just so much fun. You know, he's never been around this many atheists slash agnostics. You know, he just seems, every time he goes and we talk on the phone, he's just amazed how accepted he is amongst us. And he's just having a great time. And Mick, how come you didn't show up that last night?
I descended into the bowels of the beast.
That's what I heard.
I am writing a blog about my experiences at Alpha. I'm not writing it. Well, I think I'm writing it well, but I'm not writing it often.
Ah.
Let's put it that way. And that blog, I'm putting a plug in here, Marshall. I'm sorry. Is it's on WordPress, and the name of it is That Old Sarks, SARX.
What does that mean?
It's flesh.
Ah.
I thought it was kind of funny. Little Christian reference. Okay. That old flesh gets you every time.
Yes.
So I went to the little Alpha weekend. I learned who the Holy Spirit was.
Yeah,
or is. Ooh. Sorry, I guess he is.
Did he make an appearance?
You know, I kept on waiting, but just didn't happen.
You didn't speak in tongues?
No. Oh, no. I have spoken in tongues.
Oh, I have too.
Me too. Right, about midnight. about 1 o'clock this morning in the morning, I'll be talking in tongues.
This isn't the tongue speaking contingent. It was interesting. It was a good time. They're nice people. I drank a lot. Luckily, they're liberal types, so they allow for the drinking. So the more they talked about religion, the more I drank. And that seemed to work pretty well. But like I was talking to you guys before we started recording, in my opinion, it would have been a great weekend without all the religious pap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really... It seemed like if you just sucked that all out of the weekend, it would have been like, you know, a great group of people that just got together and decided to go to a hotel and have a good time.
Well, yeah, I've had fun at these Alpha meeting groups myself. Unfortunately, Cole and I and John we've pretty much driven all the Christians out of our group.
We have three ladies.
Just the moderators and us.
That never have read the Bible.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we haven't tried to be agitate anyone, but a lot of Christians really cannot handle discussions that countered their personal beliefs. So rather than get confrontational about it, which that Matt guy did, most of them have just stopped showing up in our particular group.
In my opinion, this group of people are, and I don't mean to, this is going to sound mean. I don't know any other way around it, but these are some of the most uneducated Christians I've ever ran into.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them that I talk to in these meetings and these groups have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, the Old Testament says that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Right. I know we say things in our class, too. They don't even know what we're talking
and
about.
And this Alpha, these videos and other things are specifically engineered to prey on these poor people, in my opinion.
No, I agree. Yeah,
I don't know how to dumb down what I say to appeal to them from the other side. If you understand what I mean, because you know, I start talking about stuff, and they just it's like I told Cole, I just get deer in the headlights. I mean, it's like blank looks. Like, what's he talking about? You know, he's talking about, you know,
evil.
Right. Right, you know.
You called me on that and talked for an hour.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, you know.
Poor Mickey. He said, are you up? I said, yes. I'm up. I'm always up till midnight at least. He calls me up and I wish we'd record. Did you record that by chance?
No.
Oh, you should have. It was wonderful.
It drives me nuts. I mean, you know, and I'll say it here because, you know, we talked about it before. Like I said, I should just, when we walk through the door, I should just flip the button and go. Should just record everything, but anyway,
right?
You know, evil devil, good God. That was a little side point that the Nikki Gumbel, fear Nikki Gumbel, like made, and it was like as if it was poignant, as if it there was something there that was intelligent to say that these words are similar, and isn't that funny? Isn't that odd?
That couldn't be a coincidence,
right? Well, it is. That's the great thing, you know. It's a coincidence, and I just I called Cole afterwards because I had to talk to somebody that
would give you a sane response,
right? Yeah, I mean, just like yes, Mick, absolutely, that is asinine. Thank you, God. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I ever say. Yes, I agree. I agree, Mick. I agree.
I like that.
It was good. It was good. Hey, you know, I just had an idea. Why don't we try to interview Nikki Gumbel on the show?
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on.
I'll
call him.
He wouldn't. If you can get him.
Okay. I'll try.
I'm going to predict that you won't.
All right. I'll try. Anyway.
I'll have to collect a collection of phrases that I want him to say, like blimey governor and stuff like that.
Can I lie to get him here?
Anybody British who's listening, I'm sorry.
Well, you're an atheist. Of course you can.
Yeah, so I get to lie. Yeah. I'll get them here.
So, all righty. Well, okay. Resolved. We hate Christians.
Who is that?
I thought that's what
did someone was, just come in here and say they hated Christians?
I thought we had all agreed on that. Okay, I don't hate Christians. I actually
Mick, I agree with you. You know, these people aren't the most educated about the Bible.
No, they're
that's
not.
For sure. Or science. But, you know, most of them are nice people.
Oh, I mean, they're very nice.
They are very nice people. They're easy to talk with. What few are left in our class are at least it'll be real interesting to see who shows up
next
week.
When we talk in that class, a couple of them look like they're deer caught in the headlights.
Yes,
you know?
yes. Like what?
Yeah, and I haven't gotten a chance to go to any of them. I think I'm going to try to go in January to one of the other sessions they're going to have.
I've already enrolled in another one.
Have you really?
But I find that interesting, though, that they would have people there that are that unknowledgeable when you're trying to convert somebody. Wouldn't you think you'd want somebody that's, I don't know, knowledgeable at least about the Bible? I mean, at least has read through it a couple times.
Well, a lot of this is a social opportunity. I mean, a lot of these people have done this multiple times, and it's just because they like doing it.
Well, this church does it three times a year sometimes.
And
at least twice.
Most of these people have never read any of the Old Testament, clearly, because they're always shocked when we quote it to them.
Right.
Well, like the one guy in my group that said the reason why he didn't read the Old Testament is because he said it wasn't written by Christians.
That's right. It was written by Jews.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, he's got a point. It wasn't written by Christians. At least not all of it. Some people think maybe some of it was, but all right. Well, we've got some interesting news from around the world that I think we should discuss.
Okay.
If you're ready. We're going to do a little bashing on Muslims. Not necessarily bashing, just making fun of. Okay, in Chechnya. Well, actually, no, it's in Dagestan, Russia. There is a young boy named Ali Yakubov who once a week verses of the Quran appear on his right leg, just mysteriously. And a couple days later, they disappear. And, of course, they are calling this a miracle.
Now, who's they?
The largely Islamic population in that area.
The only thing I can prescribe for that is bacon grease. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the swine flu.
I'm sorry. Well, and when this happens, according to the mother, when these letters start to appear, the kid's temperature goes up dramatically, and he always cries, and he cries hysterically.
So this is from God.
Yeah. So clearly,
he's such a nice God. Yeah, make you cry.
You know, an all-powerful God who could do this without inflicting pain on the child,
but chooses not to.
Yeah. Well, clearly, and this is actually being considered a miracle by millions of Muslims. But clearly, what's going on here is they are tracing, you know, Arabic letters onto his leg with some irritant that he's allergic to or something like that. And this is just a histamine reaction, which is causing a fever.
Well, Jennifer had it.
Yeah, well, I'd have to look it up, but I've seen a woman that she has a really sensitive, like, skin issue. Like, if she scratches her fingernails across her skin, it causes, like, almost like blister welts to come up. Mm-hmm. And she actually has done this, and she's used her trying to think of what you would call it. I hesitate to call it disease, but dysfunction or whatever for photography. She's actually like, she'll imprint like patterns on her skin and irritate her own. And it's not an irritant. It's just a disease that she has or just, you know.
Well,
like
sounds, I'm guessing that it's a histamine reaction.
It could be, but.
And because the original picture that I saw of this kid, it had the writing. It's in blood red. And around it, you can see swelling and just red irritation. Clearly, the skin's been irritated, obviously by the fact that he gets a fever and starts crying hysterically when it happens. But I read some of the comments where I read this, and there were Muslims going on there saying, this is undeniable proof. How could anyone not be a Muslim anymore? And one guy suggested that anyone who doubted this deserved to be shot.
Is there anyone even investigating it? I mean, are they
government's complicit because the government, a government official was saying that this was proof that God, there's some insurgency going on in this area.
Sure.
And they're saying this is clear proof that God wants this to stop.
Because some toddler's got some crap written on his ham hock. We're going to all get excited about this crap.
Well, I think they should stop irritating this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, how come God just doesn't flash on his forehead saying, hello, I'm God?
Yeah.
You know, something like that, something nice.
Well, yeah. Anything that can involve a one-year-old boy to get a fever and start crying hysterically. I don't know.
I guess we should be thankful it's on his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, really? If it was a little farther up, I might hurt.
Yeah.
All right.
I have scripture on a certain part of me.
You do.
If you'd like
me
to show that to you.
No.
It's a message from God.
I really don't want to see it.
Thank you. Welcome to Kansas City. Have a nice day.
Oh, you're full of
sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
Hello.
All right. In other news, nurse refuses hospital-mandated flu shot for religious reasons. Apparently, a woman in Grand Rapids, this is according to the local NBC station, who happens to be a nurse, is refusing to get a flu shot, a seasonal flu shot, not the H1N1 shot, but just a seasonal flu shot, and she's being told that she will be fired if she doesn't get it. Here's what she has to say. I was raised a Christian. And it doesn't give her a name.
Stop. What does that have to do with getting a flu shot?
Well, what kind of Christian? I mean,
she was raised a kind of Christian that it was her belief, or she says it, and it's my belief that I feel like God created us in His image. He created our bodies and created our immunity.
So why is she a
nurse?
You're
a freaking nurse.
Right. Why are you a nurse
in the industry that you're just saying God? We don't even need
right her. Yeah, just pray.
And I'm sure she gives shots, flu shots to people. I don't know. Personally, if she wants to be a martyr and get fired, that's her choice. But I can't imagine that this hospital would have any obligation to retain her.
Well, if it's the law. I mean, if it's the rules.
It's
the rules of the hospital, though. You have to get that shot.
Yeah, but most nurses and practitioners and whatnot do it because you don't want to get somebody who's already dealing with an immune deficiency of
exactly.
some sort to, you know, be exposed to this stuff.
Right. That was my first thought.
I can't even fathom it. I mean, this is...
How do you become a nurse?
It's a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say that I just can't get past the whole like if God created us all and He and all that stuff and it's just like, let him heal us, then...
It'd be like refusing to be filmed in a pornography movie because you were a Christian, but agreeing to be the cameraman. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. How do you know God's not a doctor? If he was created in his image, maybe he's a nurse.
Well, yeah, I think he is referred to in some literature as like the great physician.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm on the lines. I think it's a woman.
That God's a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you what does that mean? That she has a vagina?
That doesn't mean whatever. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she doesn't have anything. Maybe she's like angels. She doesn't have any sex.
She's a woman.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe she sounds better. Maybe she's got both the innie and the outie. We don't know.
There you go.
She's a little bit of everything. All righty. This next piece of news came from Europe. It's about a EU court ruling that required Italy to pay a family $7,390 because they have crucifixes in their public schools.
How'd they come up with that amount?
I don't know. I mean, that doesn't seem...
$6,666 maybe.
Yeah, that would make sense. But how did they come to that exact amount? I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, so and of course the Vatican is outraged by this. They're quoted as saying that the crucifix is a fundamental sign of the importance of religious values in Italian history and culture, and was a symbol of unity and welcoming for all humanity.
Yes, they were very loving. They were very loving to the Jews.
So, so all those crosses that they hung people on on the way into Rome, that was a symbol of acceptance and humanity.
Inviting you in, saying, "Hey, come in. We like everybody.
It's like, we're not Christmas. You know? We'll crucify everybody."
That's what that means. A guy hanging off of a cross in your front yard. It's, come on in, have a drink.
Yeah. Well, and I know during the Crusades and various wars during the Middle Ages, when a nation would see an army with a carrying a crucifix in the front, they were like, "Hooray! Here come the Christians!"
It reminds me of Monty Python.
No, I mean, it's just an absurd statement. But you know, I am actually open to the possibility. If I mean, Christianity and Catholicism is definitely a part of the Italian history. So I say let them show crucifixes in the schools. But for every crucifix, they also have to show a picture of someone being tortured in the Inquisition or witches being burned at the stake or the Crusades, children being massacred in Jerusalem and stuff like that.
And spaghetti.
Well, I was going to say either that or it's kind of an all or nothing. If you have the crucifix up there, why not have the Star of David and the crescent moon and the star and all of that right along with it? So that way you're not necessarily saying,
Well, a lot of the Vatican certainly doesn't believe that Europe should be held to the same rules that the United States is of secularity. They don't believe in secular. I mean, Europe, in the mind of the Vatican officials, is a Christian realm.
It's part of
Christendom.
They don't have the same rules of freedom of speech over there.
No, they don't.
And their different laws and constitutions, whatever you want to call them, bills of rights. Yeah. So they don't fall under the same stringency, I guess you could say.
But anyway, it was. Well, on the one hand, I think it's a little weird that a European council can kind of tell Italy what to do. Italy did nonetheless join the EU, so they are kind of subject to those laws. I say just take the crucifixes down or put up everything else, like you said. But I'm not sure the $7,390 is going to be enough to convince Italy to remove all the crucifixes.
Gosh, that can't be much more than I mean, how many crucifixes do you think there is?
They have them all in all the public schools.
$7,000 is not going to go very far.
Well, unless a lot more people start suing, which you might see.
Hey, maybe there's someone there to interview on our show.
They speak Italian or English. All right. I'm going to go into a fascinating new study that was recently released by the Journal of Psychological Sciences, which revealed that morality is not the result of God, but rather we get our morality from, or at least in part, from our sense of smell. During this study, they realized, or they broke up about 200 people into two groups. One in an area with a heavy lemon scent. This sounds like a joke, but it's true. They actually did this. And the other 100 in a room that didn't smell as well.
So it wasn't lemon, it was nicotine or
something like that. But it turns out that the 100 that were in the lemon-scented room, which again sounds like a joke, were actually more prone to be honest and more willing to volunteer when given the opportunity to do so. Wow. Which actually I think is true. It certainly indicates that morality is has a lot to do with
lemons.
Oh.
Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I get my moralities from my head.
All I'd like to say about that study is I think maybe a little bit more. Look into it a little bit more for me. That sounds a little incomplete. Yeah. I mean, you know, what was the control?
Well, the control was the group that wasn't in the lemon-scented room.
Well, you had the lemon scent, and then you had the non-lemon scent. Yeah.
Well, all this lemon talk makes me, I'm craving tequila.
Well, so now they're speculating if clean smelling can reduce crime.
Clean smelling, reduce crime.
Which I don't know.
Yeah, that's a little far-fetched. I mean, I could see that, you know,
like
if you're...
said, more
if,
research.
Yeah,
more research.
Because I could see that if you're in a room that smells bad, yeah, that can affect how you're feeling. Like, if you know, if it's a strong smell and it gives you a headache, I mean, I don't know. I might be in a, you know, because that's the other thing. How strong was the smell? Because if I was in a strongly smelling lemon-scented room, I might actually get a headache and be like, I want to go, you know, tell everybody to go away, you know?
Yeah, well, so we all just need to run to the ghetto and throw lemons?
Yeah.
And things will be better?
Just throw them anywhere.
Yeah.
Throw them in the mall.
Cool. Hey, you have a lemon. Bam!
So anyway, this is science.
Just doing
people.
My part. Just doing my part.
This is science. I think we should bow to it.
You bow. Oh, how much?
Although I think it's fascinating. There probably is. I believe that mental states are largely affected by chemical responses, which can be triggered by sense. Hot. I mean, we know sense has a definite effect on mental status.
I don't disagree with that. I totally agree. But this study sounds...
Yeah, I would say based solely on this, there's more work to be done.
Yeah. This is not...
Maybe we should move on to another subject. Yes.
But anyway, I think it's promising. We just need a better spelling world.
Do you have one there on tequila?
I see officers rather than mace, just a little can of Glade.
I was going to say, maybe we should just start carrying around, air freshener. Just spray somebody in the
there
face
you go.
If they're in a bad mood. Here,
wow, yeah. Lemon air fresheners in every car.
That's right. We'd all be driving the speed limit, you know.
We all smile at each other at stop signs. Hi, how are you? I'm fine. You? I'm good. I'm a Christian. That's okay.
But I think it's fascinating. Although I do agree that there's obviously more work to be done.
Yes.
Sorry, Marshall.
But it's fascinating. Because honestly, I do suspect that...
He's not going to let loose.
No, he's not. He's like, man, let's move on, please, buddy,
right,
please.
Right, we'll move on. But I do think there's something to it.
Oh, right. Shut up!
Okay. Worker says, I was fired for wearing God button.
Wow.
Former
Good.
Cashier. This is from the West Palm Beach.
Was it Home Depot?
Yeah, I remember reading that story.
Yeah, he has a brother who's served in the military, and he's been wearing this button that reads, One Nation Under God. He apparently did that for about a year. And then he says once he started bringing his Bible and reading it during his break periods, they told him, you know, let's get you another button.
Oh, sorry.
And I forgot. They wanted him to wear another button. He refused, and they fired him, saying that it was a violation of standing dress code policies. That the buttons you wear have to be pre-approved, and this one was not.
Right.
So I don't know what exactly I think about this. I do think that a organization should be allowed to set their own dress code policy as long as it's done for good reason.
And smells like lemon.
It smells like lemon. But
I don't know how I feel about this one way or the other. It is too bad that they took so long to catch it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if it's in their policy, when they catch it, they catch it. And yeah. Too bad.
Because,
you know,
the thing is, if you let this go, and then you have other people who decide to show up with "I love Satan" buttons,
or "I'm an atheist,"
or "I'm an atheist," right. or whatever, or, you know, "Allah Akbar" or something like that. Well, then you're going to have customers complaining. But how are you going to tell them to take off their buttons when you got,
right?
You know, Mr. I Love Jesus walking around with his.
Right, so. And you have to admit, in a secular nation, which we are.
For the time being.
Yes. that saying "one nation under God" is offensive to, you know, some people out there.
Is it offensive to you?
No, not really. But I'm saying there's probably people like pagans.
Right.
You know, people like that, that mm-hmm. are like, you know, they would be more comfortable with "one nation under gods."
Yeah. Sorry. And certainly right. there aren't a whole lot of Christians that would be pleased to have a cashier who said, wore a button that said "one nation under Allah" or "Satan is my hero" or something like
right.
that.
They'd probably receive even more complaints about that than you would about the guy wearing the – because I'm sure that's – I'm actually probably sure that's why he got caught, is somebody complained, I'm sure. Which, you know, there again, like you said, it's unfortunate that it went that long that and nobody said something to him before. But, you know, I'm sure that's why yeah. he got called out, is somebody complained about the button.
You think anybody would complain if you had a button that said "I like Bugs Bunny"?
No.
That's pretty
no.
not offensive.
No.
What if you said, "I worship Bugs Bunny"?
Well,
I,
you know
pray, I pray to Bugs Bunny?
That's why I think Home Depot was smart to have a pre-approved list of buttons that you could wear.
Right. I think you just forget the freaking buttons.
Yeah.
And this is the important point. The important point of that article was they did come to him and they said, "We realize that your brother is serving and that you want to be patriotic." And they, like, offered him like some sort of American flag button or something like that in the article that I read.
Right.
They did
yeah,
actually
they
offer
sure
him
did.
Like several patriotic options that he could have done and he refused.
Oh, it said they offered him a company approved pin that said "United We Stand."
Right.
Right.
He declined wearing that specifically because it did not make a reference to God.
Right. Oh. So it's obvious yeah. to me at that point it is not patriotism that he was after.
Nope.
No.
And
well,
when you're
it was
working,
in a forum.
And when you're working for somebody and you're on the job, it's that's really not your forum to put out there what you believe. It's just not, you know.
Well, it's just dangerous because once you let the Christians do it, then you've got to let right. everyone else do it.
But the important point here is nobody asked him to stop reading the Bible on his breaks.
No.
Right.
And he was given an option, and he decided that being able to wear that pin was more important than remaining employed.
Wow.
And, you know,
so now he'll draw an employment.
I don't have a problem with a Christian deciding to be the martyr in this regard, and just saying, you know, I'm gonna take one for Jesus, but that's on them. That's not on the company.
Yeah, but now he's suing the company, isn't he?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
I believe I read that in the interview that he's also suing Home Depot now for discrimination against him.
He's suing them because they violated. His First Amendment rights, and because they are agents of Satan. I made that last part.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'd be fine if he's being the martyr if he wasn't now turning around and suing them because he doesn't agree with their policy, because they're a private company and they have the right to make that policy.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, the only thing, the only problem with what they did is they're waiting as long as they did.
Right.
So, all right.
Why did they wait that long?
But that doesn't surprise me, though. This happens all the time, that somebody gets away with a dress code violation or anything in a big company, and it goes unnoticed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it's corrected at this time. I mean, I've worked for a large corporation. I've seen stuff like that happen all the time. And people always complain about the fact that, like, you know, I wore that T-shirt 40 times, and, you know, nobody said anything to me. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, yeah, you did. But it doesn't matter. You were in violation of the code before.
Yeah.
Right.
So now somebody caught you, you have to stop. Like, you were just in violation of the rules, you just didn't know. Ignorance is an excuse up to a point. But yeah. once past the point of you knowing, you can't continue on. I don't know. It's something that's always kind of bugged me when people bitch and moan about something like that.
Well, and the complaint probably became an issue when somebody was like, hey, you know, button boy has now started reading the Bible in the break room, and I'm getting tired of it. Mm-hmm. And so he probably brought the intention on to himself. But I don't really have that much sympathy for him. It's I can't guarantee whether he'll win or lose the case or not, depending on the court. But
yeah, but I don't think anybody would complain about somebody reading the Bible on their break.
Why I was going to say I think he drew that inference himself. And like I said, I think it was really probably a customer that probably complained about the button, and that's the reason why they went and talked to him about it.
Yeah.
And it, honestly, he's just playing the victim as a lot of people tend to do, and trying to make it look like they're discriminating against him because he's Christian, and I just don't buy that.
Well, I will tell you what is a believable scenario to me is that he probably tried to witness to a customer.
That's possible, or
a coworker.
You know, I read the Bible in my break room at work quite often.
Do you really?
Yes, I actually do.
You're an atheist. You know that, don't you?
I am. Are you guys atheists? Maybe I'm on the wrong show. That's why they were looking at me really weird last night.
The bot network called.
Yes, yes. I love the bot network. Let's do it all the time.
Cole, you've been showing up to the wrong place.
Yes. Hank Hanegraaff, he's my hero.
Oh, there are a bunch of loonies over there. Speaking of the bot network, I have repeatedly heard them get questions from people saying, you know, I've lost my job, I'm poor. Do I have to keep tithing?
Yes.
And them saying,
yes, you have to.
You are stealing from God.
You have to stay away. You have to find a way.
I've literally heard them say, you are stealing from God. Yes. You do not give 10% of your income.
I've heard it too.
Let me see here. 10% of nothing is nothing. Carry the one.
Well,
what you do is you take a loan or you give a credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they want you to do.
Yeah, they just do not want their funds ceasing.
Yes.
Because there are more Bibles that need to be bought. So
yes.
Give them to the poor.
Well, you got
to
pay their salary.
Yeah. But you know, speaking of, I just heard there's a new charity drive. This guy was talking about, I was just in the Philippines and I saw so much poverty. That's why I want you to donate, you know, money so we can buy them Bibles.
Bibles.
Oh, right. My God. What about food?
Give them a bowl of soup and put a Bible down and ask which one the kid wants.
Yeah, could you make the Bible out of bread or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Hey, that's an idea. That's a great idea.
It was just.
Make it out of beef jerky.
I almost threw my car radio out the window at that point.
I hear the same thing.
I want to backtrack to this clean smelling.
Oh, no.
Don't do this.
All right.
Come down there and spray you down with Lysol.
No kid, you have some.
So, there's another news story that I kind of thought was fascinating is that a lot of the churches in the country are concerned about swine flu and making sure that their parishioners don't get pandemicked. And one thing that they're doing, a lot of churches are halting or altering their communion ceremonies. Like Catholic bishops of Dallas, the Catholic Bishop of Dallas, Kevin Farrell, no word if he's ever molested a child, has that was uncalled for. Right?
No, it sounded good to me.
Did you happen to look up the percentages though?
No, I know it's 5% by their own admission.
Oh God! All right. Just so you know, you have less of a chance of being in a plane crash than being molested by a Catholic priest, no matter who you are. Sorry,
really?
I just had to say that.
Do I still have a
chance? I guess if I had to pick one over the other, I'd go with the.
At least
know.
The plane crash is over really quick. Sorry. Good Lord.
I guess that depends on the kind of plane crash, though.
Or how much Father Flanagan paid you. Hello.
Father Flanagan
paid me to do what?
What to do?
I never told you about that. Oh, he didn't have to pay me. Come on, no, I'm kidding. All right. So Bishop Kevin Farrell, again, no word on the molestation thing, has advised his diocese pastors to consider suspending reception of the Holy Eucharist under both species and to take other steps to respond to a possible health danger, which to me is a tacit admission. Okay, we know this isn't really Jesus, because if we actually believe that, then we're admitting that we think you can get swine flu from Jesus.
Right.
So, I just, if you honestly believed, this is really Jesus. But be careful. We don't want you drinking him right now because he's got a nasty flu virus in him right now.
Do you think all this started when God herded all those pigs off that bluff that time?
This is the time for revenge.
Yeah. Perhaps you were destined to get the swine flu, and the Eucharist was God's chosen method of delivery.
Yes, and this bishop is now denying God that opportunity. To me, to say that you can – to actually be fearful that Jesus, the blood of Jesus, can give you the swine flu is an absolute admission that you know, okay, it's just we've been making this stuff all along, but that's okay. I mean, because if you honestly thought it was Jesus, could you honestly be scared that he was going to give you the swine flu?
Well, so what about the crackers? They don't limit that,
do they? Well, they're going to limit that, too.
Are they?
Yeah. And another thing in this that I thought was kind of interesting is that Methodist churches in Texas, for some reason this is heavy in Texas, are switching to juice packets.
Oh.
So like what, Capri Sun?
Yeah, I know. they have, where is that again? I lost it. Wrapped communion wafers. So, and juice packets, which I guess you would drink with a straw.
So club crackers and Capri Sun passed out at the beginning of each service?
Just like the Last Supper.
You know, if they'd serve beer and chili, I might go have a communion.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts. My brain.
All right. We've got a couple more stories. Muslim woman. Husband made me eat pork. So she attempted to stab him in the neck with a knife. This woman.
This is too ridiculous. All these rules and religions.
Rabia Swara pleaded not guilty to attempted murder and was freed on $25,000 bail. She told police in a written statement that she was emotionally abused by her husband because he attempted to get her to eat pork. She says, I did my best to cut his throat. But the next moment, he jumped on me and grabbed me. So, and it says, I was just trying to make him happy when I ate pork. And there's no indication, according to the police, that he actually forced her to eat pork or wear a short skirt. And apparently he made her drink alcohol. But not by force. She was just trying to be a good wife. But eventually she couldn't take it anymore, and she tried to stab him in the throat with a knife.
So was she arrested?
She was. And it is my greatest hope that religion is not used as a justification for leniency in this situation. I mean, she basically attempted to murder her husband when she certainly had other alternatives, such as...
eat pork?
Well, or not eat. She did eat the pork, apparently.
It turned out to be turkey bacon too, and the guy feels awful. It was just a joke.
Wouldn't that be possibly grounds for her to actually divorce him? I don't know Islam very, very well, but if he's not obviously following the religion,
then this is the United States. I don't think you need grounds for a divorce. You just have to say I'm divorcing you.
Well, I would say since she is part of a religion where you're not supposed to eat pork, that. Perhaps she could justify in a court of law that she was under some sort of emotional distress. But the fact that she attempted to kill him is kind of a problem.
Right.
She's very open about that fact.
Right. When you say, I tried to stab him in the neck, it's kind of...
Well, it says, I did my best to cut his throat.
Okay, there you go.
Well, she's just trying to show how devout she is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a good thing.
I'm convinced.
Leaving him, getting divorced was certainly an option. And she just thought it would be easier to kill him. I really, really, really hope that there is no leniency based upon the fact that she was a Muslim.
I hope not.
And that she was traumatized by pork ingestion.
I would say perhaps some sort of home for the mentally impaired
might
be good for her. But you can't fit all the religious people in that home.
I realize
bring
that.
Bring her here. Maybe she'll get Jesus.
Anyway, it just goes on to say how she felt that she had no choice. She had to wear a short skirt, drink alcohol.
No choice.
Must kill husband for treating me like a human.
So. I like the fact that the alcohol and the short skirt were fine, but it was the pork that pushed it. Yeah,
it was the pork that,
Husband made me eat pork.
Maybe it's because she actually liked the way it tasted and it made her feel ashamed. I don't know.
And it would have been a different thing if he had, like, stuck a gun to her head and said, "You're going to eat this bacon or I'm going to kill you." And then, grabs a knife and stabs him in the neck. That would have been one thing, but that was clearly not the situation.
If it ain't the pork, it's the porkin'. Sorry. I'm full of these tonight.
They didn't go into that, and thankfully they did not.
I can just envision a Mick, or who is upstairs? I'm not even going there. I was thinking skirt, but...
Now what? Now I'm curious what you were thinking.
No, it's not important. Ask God. Jesus will tell you.
He told me he wants you to say that.
Okay, I was just thinking of Howard in a skirt because of all the sexual things he's been saying tonight. I don't know. I told you it wasn't funny.
Cole, that's getting edited out, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, do me a favor and edit that part out,
just,
Howard.
Just so you know, that's going
Jesus
down.
That sucked. He did not need to know that.
Yes, it sucked. Okay, let's move on. Let's go back to the lemons.
We need some lemon fresh scent in here after that one. So, all right. And this is good news, actually, on the religious front.
Oh, that's
and I'm
good.
Sure we've all heard this. This happened a couple weeks back. But the U.S. opposes bid to bar religious defamation, which is very popular among the Islamic nations right now and apparently has gained some acceptance among various European nations. Ireland, for one.
Oh, no, that law?
Mm-hmm.
That's direct violation of First Amendment.
Yeah,
there's no way that could fly over here. I hope.
Well, I hope not. I would turn on Obama in a heartbeat.
It'll never happen.
Hillary Rodham Clinton, who was the Secretary of State. You all know her, don't you?
I don't know if I can remember who she is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
She gave a very run for mayor strong speech about how un-American it would be to endorse such a thing. Now, I don't personally have a problem with. I don't know how you would. I'm about to say something dangerous.
Yeah.
Have a problem with limiting, just how vilely you can talk about another person's religion.
Absolutely
to
not.
Them.
I'm not for that either. I'm purely freedom of speech. You start restricting because that becomes so subjective. Like, you saying I'm not Christian, somebody might take some Christian could say that totally offends me.
Yeah,
and then because that's what that whole Ireland law pretty much does is if
somebody. But by going into a mosque and saying you're all a bunch of
pigs,
they have the right to kick you out of their mosque though.
Right, but there would be really easy though because you could get charged with disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
Trespassing, et cetera, et cetera.
That's true. That's true. And that's what I had in mind. Is just something absurdly over the top.
Right. But as with all any kind of hate crime kind of thing, we already have laws about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter why you kill somebody, why you defame somebody or anything like that. You still did the crime.
No, and I agree with that.
You should be punished according to the crime, not according to your specific motive.
And I agree with that. But anyway, the United States has officially come out against it. There had been some concern based on some things that Obama had said in the past that he was somewhat sympathetic towards it. But
what? Really?
Well, didn't the UN pass that resolution that they were
trying to.
We're on the Security Council, and we have the ability to veto anything like that. So it would require unanimous support from the Security Council, and as long as we're not supporting it, which I would hope we never would, it's not getting passed.
So what would that mean? I mean, if something like this passed, does that mean these Bible studies that we're going to, we can no longer go to?
Or can you see?
If somebody complained, Phelps, people want to do this because of people like Fred Phelps. They don't want him being able to protest it. This because people try to outlaw him from protesting at funerals and things like that. But if you ban them from doing that, then you ban anybody from protesting anything, really.
Or really,
you can't do that.
Or really any specific religious belief if taken seriously, is blasphemous to any other religion.
Right, you know? Right. And that goes directly against kind of the freedom of religion and freedom of expression and all that stuff. So it's, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't see how you word blasphemy laws in a manner in which all discussion involving religion, whether it be positive one religion, which, again, would be negative to another religion, everything would be legal.
The idea of blasphemy, the idea of blasphemy is almost completely subjective, in the religion that it is, that is considering something blasphemy. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, you know, the Christian Scientist would consider going to a hospital and seeking out medical help,
yes,
to be blasphemous. Mm-hmm. You know, but other Christians don't.
Mm. No, right. I agree, and it, right. they're just. I don't know how. Ireland,
yeah,
has written their law to deal with that.
I think it's been written really liberally, and I'm interested to see if that actually. I haven't followed it, but I'm interested to see if, what happens when somebody actually tries to enforce that law.
Well, I think it has been enforced on one occasion. But like we've said, it's just so difficult to come up with a definition of blasphemy that wouldn't really accompany just about anything spoken about religion. So, good news is the United States is firmly against it, which, like you said, we would have to be because of the constitutional issues. I mean, I just don't know how we would possibly endorse that and continue to respect the Constitution. Got one more news report from U.S. News. Bankruptcy filing delays church sex abuse case. A bishop in Washington, Delaware, is arguing that essentially that they need to reduce the amount that they're having to be pay out to individual sex victims because there's just not going to be enough money left for all the other sex victims. We're going to run out of money too soon. To quote him.
So the Vatican is running out of money. Is that what you're saying?
No. There are a lot of dioceses that are having to declare bankruptcy because so many people have been molested by priests.
That's unbelievable.
5% of the priests by their own admission.
Wow.
Which is just amazing.
All right. So since they molested so many people, it's costing them so much money, so they're having a problem paying it, so they don't want to pay as much. Or as many people.
Well, right. Yeah, because here they are advocating for the people they've molested.
Tough shit.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding.
I agree.
Pay the money, sell the church,
yep.
Get a second mortgage.
Pray
I don't care.
I don't think they can get out of adjudications that way.
I don't think
they have because they've been declaring bankruptcy.
But I thought that bankruptcy was everything except for judgments and things against you, judgments and like student loans and things like that. I didn't think bankruptcy included those things.
Well,
maybe it does.
Cause
there's different types.
Because they're waving it around like a threat.
And, fine. Go bankrupt.
Well, and again, like I said, they shouldn't be forced. Like you said, they should be forced to sell a church.
Yes.
Or like somebody read.
Who would you sell a church to?
The Vatican should have to sell itself, and we could
sell it to the city, make a community center.
Well, that's what they would probably do if they go through bankruptcy, wouldn't they? Because you know, if you go through bankruptcy as a person, you'll lose your home. Sure. The bank takes your home and sells it. So right. Take the church and sell it to pay off these debts.
Yeah, I would love to buy a church.
Wouldn't it be great? Well,
we could do immuno groups there.
Arlo Guthrie bought one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Remember the movie he did a long time ago? Alice's Restaurant.
I'll be honest with you, I don't even know who Arlo Guthrie is.
Oh, gosh, that's sinful. I'll pray for you tonight.
Well, anyway, the bishop says this. An excessive settlement or jury award for a handful of victims who would receive a much bigger piece of the pie would have been unfair for the other victims. They're just worried about the other people that got molested.
Yes, they are. They're truly
worried.
That's
all they're worried about. They're not worried about having to declare bankruptcy.
Well, then, like everyone else said, sell the church.
Well, I guess it's not their fault that they didn't just go ahead and fire the people that did this in the first place.
Yes. Oh, and, you know, maybe, I don't know, turn them over to the authorities.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You know, I was at seminary. I'm sure I've mentioned that before on the show. I know of two, I personally know two priests who are no longer priests because they've molested children.
So where are they now?
Well, one was politely asked to stop being a priest and did not get turned over to anyone.
So what does he know?
Last I heard, and this was years ago when I heard this, he was a manager at a pizza hut.
Carnival ride worker?
Yeah. That's a difficult question when you're a manager at a pizza hut and people know you used to be a priest and, you know, they ask you, so weren't you a priest anymore? I mean, I decided I wanted to work at Pizza Hut instead. I mean, how do you come up with a good answer to that question? I mean, it's pretty obvious at that point. Okay, you probably touched some children where you shouldn't have touched them. Mm. And because no one stops being a priest so they can make
pizza. What about
the
second one you said, too?
Right.
Well, he actually went to jail. It was kind of unfair. He did a plea bargain, and they said, you know, if you agree that you did this, you probably won't receive a jail term. And they gave him a jail term anyway.
Well, you said probably.
They
covered their ass on it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad they did.
I think that they can tell you that, yeah, if you do that. Well, I don't know if they can flat out lie to you like that.
But if you say probably.
But he was upset. His lawyers were. I was following this intently because I knew both these. One I went to school with, and one was an associate vocational director for the diocese. And he was actually fairly famous in the area. He started the Running Rebs, which was the local diocesan priest basketball team, and they would go around playing high schools, stuff like that, to try to get recruits for the priesthood and stuff like that. And he did that. He did a bunch of stuff with children.
A whole bunch of stuff with children, apparently.
And he actually took some kids camping, and they reported that he molested them, and who knows how many times he did that. But he got to go to jail. I have no idea what he's doing, but
he needed to. Yep. I mean, he did the crime.
Yep.
Right.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And why don't more of them go?
He has probably been on the receiving end of a couple of molestations by now, I would imagine. And I don't know how long he was in jail, or I doubt he went to like Leavenworth or anything like that. He probably spent his time in a county jail or something.
Everyone noticed my restraint. I haven't made any jokes during this whole entire period.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with your jokes. So
there's nothing wrong.
All right. Well, I have run out of news.
And I need to go get drunk. So I'm signing off. This is Cole Morgan. Fuck off.
Oh my goodness.
I'm very tired. Cut that out, Howard.
This is Howard, and Cole's a really nice guy.
You'll hear more from us next month. Please take the time to check us out on freethoughtradio.com and on iTunes, Automatic, all those locations, and comments. We want to hear something from you people, good or bad, mainly good. But, you know, if you think we're going to hell, we'd love to hear it. So, all right, thank you.
See you.